Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. In the sports world, fans get their insight from their favorite radio show, Calvin and Campbell.
I listen to public radio.
There's Elijah Campbell, an easygoing sports trivia king.
That's a clean burning hell, I tell you what.
And Calvin Smith, the analytics mastermind.
Who ate all the pecan sandies?
This is their show. Calvin and Campbell
on ESPN
102.5 The Game.
On ESPN 102.5 The Game, I'm Calvin Smith. He's Elijah Campbell. Good morning. It is now 9:01 a.m. on a Saturday where a lot has changed in our world since Elijah and I last talked. Elijah, I happened to have planned a vacation right before the world went on complete lockdown, so we did not have a show last Saturday.
Correct.
I'm sorry to the people of Nashville for what you missed out on. But there's a lot to talk about still, I think, with NFL free agency and the Tennessee Titans in the midst of, well, probably one of the craziest things you and I have ever seen in our lifetime thus far. And maybe one of the craziest things we ever will see as everything goes on lockdown. Quarantine is absolutely in effect. And throughout today's show, we'll also say what our favorite things to do while we're locked in our houses are.
Yeah, this is unprecedented, to say the least. And I was thinking, you know, whenever you went on vacation last week, I was like, what would we have talked about outside of, you know, coronavirus shutting down every single sporting event that we know and love?
And what's crazy is,
it's depressing,
since then, more things have shut down. Like, at that point, yeah, I thought, wow, I mean, this is crazy. This is the most that can happen. This is the maximum threshold we as a society can shut down. But no, it just keeps continuing to grow and proliferate throughout everywhere, mm-hmm, where governments are saying, just stop. Yeah. Everybody freeze. We're not going to let this get out of control.
Yeah. Oh, isn't it crazy how it kind of, in America at least, it started with Rudy Gobert. How many people do you think really took this thing seriously? Or didn't take this thing seriously until Rudy Gobert was messing around and touching people's recorders and, you know, acting like an idiot and then, yes, coming down with coronavirus and then shutting down the entire NBA in one night.
I can tell you this. Without Rudy Gobert testing positive for coronavirus and his actions at the podium, mm-hmm, which are not smart, but at the same time, I can't, you know, come out here and absolutely castrate him for what he did. But his actions definitely weren't smart. I wouldn't recommend them, nor were they really even logical to any extent, and not, yeah, safe. But without Rudy Gobert, I don't think basketball shuts down like it did, as, mm-mm, promptly as it did.
Within hours.
I don't think the NHL shuts down. I don't think Major League Baseball shuts everything down and postpones their season like they did. Mm-hmm. The NFL's really lucky that their season and the meat of their product happens in the fall, because they're not affected by this and their bottom line won't be affected by this. But without Rudy Gobert, I don't think, especially the sports world, which the impact the sports world had on the everything going on with this pandemic going on, mm-hmm, the impact the sports world had made it real to everybody very, very quickly. So without Rudy Gobert, you don't see the mass public take this issue the same way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is what started the entire domino, because, like, the next day was when conference tournaments started getting canceled, yep, left and right. First, you know, I think it was the AAC, I think, was the first one to cancel their tournament outside of the Ivy League, of course. The Ivy League canceled their tournament before the entire NBA situation happened.
Of course those Ivy Leaguers did.
Of course they did. They had nerds. And the nerds were out ahead of it first. But the crazy thing is, when that happened, we were like, oh, this seems like an overreaction. This isn't very fair to Harvard, because Harvard would have had a chance to upset Yale in the conference tournament. They beat Yale twice in the regular season. So it was like, man, you know, we're just going to rob Harvard of the opportunity to get to the NCAA tournament.
Let's get more data on this first. Let's see, yeah, it grow a little bit first. But obviously, now that we see how this thing works, if you're behind the eight ball, you're going to be a big loser in a week and a half.
Oh, yeah. Ask Italy. I mean, yes, they were behind the eight ball for a while, and they tinkered with the whole let's just do things without fans thing for a while. And things just got so out of hand that they're in a crisis as well. And the same thing kind of happened here. We tinkered with the idea, at least the Golden State Warriors did, of playing in front of no fans. The NCAA tournament said this year we're going to play these games in front of no fans. And all it took for people to really take this seriously was Rudy Gobert to come down with it, the NBA to start canceling games, and then postpone the season. And I think that was when, like for me at least, when it got real for me, was when I realized the NBA is postponing action, million-dollar action, multi-million-dollar action. They don't do it for nothing.
And then what's so interesting is how many NBA players are testing positive as well.
Oh, yeah.
And it kind of makes me wonder how many people out there have this. Because NBA players get tested a lot because, well, one, because they're such high-profile people, and two, it's proliferated throughout the league. One guy had it, then Donovan Mitchell had it, then I believe Marcus Smart for the Celtics tested positive.
Kevin Durant.
What's crazy about this is I feel like many times when, you know, with big-time diseases or illnesses, you don't hear as much about famous people getting sick, usually because they have access to really good doctors and things like that that can help them prevent bad things from happening a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard the Canadian Prime Minister, Shanice Trudeau, she came down with it like a week ago. Kevin Durant gets it. Tom Hanks gets
Tom
it.
Tom Hanks. Forrest Gump got coronavirus.
Nobody is safe, even though Forrest Gump, I really don't like the movie, but
that's a you problem.
Yeah, that maybe it is.
We discussed that. Yeah, that's a you problem.
Nothing and nobody is safe, and clearly that is the case because everybody's working from home.
Yeah, and it's changed how we do operations here.
Oh, yeah.
Me and you and Morning Drive are the only shows that are here in the studio.
Exactly. Honestly, it's kind of surprising that we're here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we really could not have had a show today because, one, because there's not much to talk about, and two, because, well, it makes you a little bit nervous sometimes to go out right now.
It is, yeah. This is the only building I think I've been in outside of my home.
Since I flew back into town before the growth really spiked, the only places I've been, I stepped into Kroger once and my house and here. That's it. And that's probably the only places I'm going to go for the next week.
Yeah. Oh, probably even longer than that.
At least. And before we move on to the Titans, because I have a lot to say about the Tennessee Titans, I promise.
Thank God for the NFL. Thank God for NFL news.
Exactly. NFL free agency could not have happened at a better time. One, for the NFL, because they're the only thing anybody can talk about right now.
Front and
that's
center.
That's not really, really sad. Well, depending on who you are. If you're a Texans fan, everything is really sad.
Oh, man, if you're a Texans fan, then don't thank God for the NFL.
Because Bill O'Brien, Mr. Bob, out there in Houston, is single-handedly wrecking the franchise quarterback you have in Deshaun Watson.
We could have done 2 hours on that.
I could
rail on Bill O'Brien all day long. That guy is an idiot.
If you're a Titans fan and you want to come in and thank Bill O'Brien for what he did for your team, give us a call. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We want to hear from you.
Yeah, the Titans should put him in the Ring of Honor, because if they win a division out of this, you could say Bill O'Brien helped helped give the Titans a division title by trading away their best player and arguably a top receiver in the entire NFL for one-legged David Johnson.
And a couple picks. And they still don't have a first-round pick.
Still don't have a first-round pick.
No first-round picks for the Texans.
They had to phone in a sweet washing machine in that deal or something. I mean, a sweet washing machine or an extra dryer or something really cool that just wasn't reported.
Serious question. Are the Texans winning in spite of Bill O'Brien?
I think they have been.
Or is it that Bill O'Brien, terrible general manager, good coach?
Both could be true. I think personnel-wise, they haven't had many favors done. Getting rid of Jadeveon Clowney for basically Laremy Tunsil.
Destroying their offensive line and then decimating their future by giving away all their draft picks.
Yeah. I mean that's self-imploding.
And then going to everyone that looks Randall like Cobb as your replacement to DeAndre Hopkins. Randall Cobb, a Tennessee native, Kentucky grad.
Alcoa High School great.
Good for Randall Cobb. Has a solid NFL career. DeAndre Hopkins is a consensus top three receiver in the game.
If you're Deshaun Watson, do you even want to be there?
No. There's no.
How come he hasn't walked in the office right now and been like, dude, I want out right now?
That was my first thought, is what is Deshaun Watson thinking right now?
There's no conceivable way he's there more than 1 or 2 years or past his contract, right? There's no way.
No, or unless Bill O'Brien's gone.
That's
and honestly,
true.
When they go like 5-11 next season, then you'll start seeing all the rumors about Bill O'Brien.
Yeah. Oh, well, is Bill O'Brien going to fire himself?
The president of the team better. The McNair family.
Where have they been on this? Where have they been? You think they got like an update on Bleach Report or something? And it's like, Bill did what? Bill did what?
does Bill O'Brien make the coaches and the GM's salary when he does both, or does he just make one?
I don't know.
Serious question.
Yeah, that is a serious question. That could answer some other questions.
I know.
As well.
As to why he would not want any help, because then he could just hoard a bunch of money.
He could just hoard all of that and then get rid of the people he doesn't like. Because what other reason do you have for trading DeAndre Hopkins other than you might not like him? There was that Michael Irvin clip that said that about his
The Bill O'Brien meeting between DeAndre Hopkins and Bill O'Brien, where basically Bill O'Brien brought him in and said, you know, the last person I had to have a meeting like this was Aaron Hernandez. Whoa.
Yeah, and then he asked him to not. Strong accusations, and then strong words.
Some very strong words. And then he asked him to not bring his. He has a few kids with a few different women. He asked him to not have his baby mamas as much around training camp or practices, which. You know, DeAndre Hopkins came out and said, this is getting way overblown. So really, I'm not sure where I stand with Michael Irvin on this, because DeAndre Hopkins didn't seem to come out and really support it. So I'm not really sure. That's just what came out.
He also never denied it, though. That's the important thing. He never denied it. I don't think he wanted that information public of that conversation.
Which, why would Michael Irvin say that?
That's a really good question,
because it doesn't make anybody look good. Nobody looks good from that.
Well, it's not like DeAndre Hopkins go beat him up. We're all quarantined.
Yeah, really?
Maybe he felt a little freer now that everyone's in the comfort of their homes, and he's thinking, you know, maybe when this all blows away in a couple of months, we're just going to forget about this. I don't know, man. That is, honestly, it's sensitive information. I don't blame DeAndre Hopkins for trying to, you know, quell this as much as he has. But it is very telling that he didn't deny it, because if it didn't happen, he would have absolutely said in that tweet, says this is being overblown and this is not even accurate.
Categorically deny.
He did not even – there was not even 1% denial in that tweet. The tweet was basically just displeasure of the attention it's getting, meaning that this has to be 100% true. And if that's so, then what is wrong with Bill O'Brien?
Not a good way to make friends.
That's the worst thing this guy could have done. There's a lot – like. Just when you think this guy couldn't put his foot in his mouth or his actions not completely implode this franchise, he tops himself. It's like this even Dumb and Dumber. Like, he goes out and he totally redeems himself.
The only thing that's left is for the Texans to start losing. And, of course, the biggest news in the NFL, a guy named Tom Brady, he is no longer a New England Patriot. We will get to that coming up on the other side here on Calvin and Campbell. And, of course, Titans, Ryan Tannehill. Derrick Henry, if anybody follows me on Twitter, if anybody's listened to anything I've said in the last 2 years in my time here at ESPN 102.5 The Game, they know what I think about running backs. Of course, I have thoughts on the Derrick Henry scenario. We will get to Tom Brady, Ryan Tannehill, and Derrick Henry coming up in the next segment, or maybe the next two segments, depends on how long I can drag that one out. This is Calvin and Campbell on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Is Calvin and Campbell on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm Calvin Smith. He's Elijah Campbell. And you are tuned in. Don't forget, we're streaming all around the world on the Game Nashville app and streaming on thegamenashville.com. So guess what? If you're sitting at home, maybe you're a little bored because you've been sitting at home for a few days now. And next week, you might be even a little bit more bored. Don't worry. ESPN 102.5 The Game can go with you wherever you may be, as long as you have a radio or cell phone or computer service. So, it's been, interestingly, a wild week in the NFL. Despite everything going on, I'm so thankful the NFL has given us a lot to talk about, and, oh, just a coincidence that maybe the most famous football player of all time, the greatest quarterback of all time, a guy with 6 Super Bowls, Tom Brady, left New England. Tom Brady is not a New England Patriot. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick split the greatest breakup in the history of sports. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Montana and Bill Walsh.
Really good one.
Was up there in the NFL. Phil Jackson, Michael Jordan in the NBA.
Yes.
However, MJ had other coaches, so it wasn't Phil wasn't the first in MJ's professional career. This might be. I mean, in terms of
success.
I think
it's definitely up there.
And the fact that Tom Brady's never had a head coach in the NFL not named Bill Belichick.
The length of how long they've been working together is part of this. I mean, going on 2 decades.
Yeah. Two decades. And the thing is, too, it's like Tom Brady was not supposed to be a starting NFL quarterback.
Not at all.
The whole story of Tom Brady is one of the reasons why Tom Brady's so great. And Bill Belichick believed in him from the time he drafted him. In the, late sixth round? Yeah, late sixth round. And whenever Drew Bledsoe was healthy, he was like, no, this is still my guy. Like, Tom Brady is still my guy.
And after they had already paid Drew Bledsoe a good contract.
Oh, yeah. He was supposed to be the franchise quarterback. But Bill trusted Tom Brady. You know that relationship had to have been that strong then, and then it only gets stronger when you win 6 Super Bowls.
And a lot more regular season games together, and you never lose your division.
did they ever lose the division? I guess the 1 year that Tom Brady missed the season because of an ACL injury, and even then Matt Cassel won 11 games with them. I mean, this is the most successful franchise in the NFL in the last 25 years.
Is it just weird for you? Because we're both young guys, right?
Yeah.
We are both significantly under the age of 30. We've really not known a world where Tom Brady's not playing in the NFL. And it's kind of been basically all we know, all anybody knows, but especially the NFL with Tom Brady. Tom Brady is a Patriot, especially for me, you know, being born in 1998, right? Like, all those things are kind of woven together. Like, when Peyton Manning leaves, I only know an NFL with Peyton Manning, then Peyton Manning leaves the Colts, and it's weird. This might be even weirder with Tom Brady.
This is so much weirder. I mean, so much weirder, because Peyton still was able to play a couple of years in, like, how many, 3-4 years in Denver?
Yeah, I think 3.
We're only going to get 2. I mean, at most.
I think
2-year deal.
Fair.
It was a 2-year deal he signed. I mean, if he's not even very good this year, who knows if he plays that last year. He could just hang it up after that. But, dude, the first Super Bowl I ever remember watching was Rams-Patriots. The 2001, I think that was 2002, 2001 NFL season.
Yeah, yeah.
First one I remember watching. It's been that long. Tom Brady has been winning with the Patriots for that long. To see him in another jersey, even the thought of him in another jersey, is just so weird and bizarre to me. And, like, you see these when players make big transactions or big moves on Twitter. Outlets like Bleacher Report will do, like, the Photoshop of another team's jersey on him. It just looked so weird. It forced me to imagine Tom Brady in a Buccaneers jersey. Here's another aspect of all of this, which is even more weird. The team he went to go play for might be the most random team in the NFL.
A generally irrelevant team.
Yeah. One Super Bowl long time ago.
With
John Gruden back in 2002. It's bizarre. It's so weird. You couldn't, like, if you would have told me at the beginning of last year, Tom Brady will end his career somewhere else, that last year would have been his last year in New England, and you had made me pick the team he was going to, the Buccaneers would not have been in my top 15 guesses.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. And that's not an exaggeration. They would not have been in the top 15.
And I guess when you look at it on paper, you could kind of see what's attractive about the Buccaneers. I mean, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Ronald Jones, Bruce Arians, the, quote, quarterback whisperer is what a lot of people like to call him, even though that system fit in Tom Brady maybe isn't made in heaven considering what Tom Brady's done for his entire career and what Bruce Arians' schemes ask of a quarterback to do.
Check
but still,
not
on,
one of them.
On paper, Tom Brady's getting an upgrade in talent. I could see why that's attractive. But at the same time, Tom Brady's such a big name, you kind of expect something like Los Angeles, Dallas, New York,
even
or
like
something historic like the Packers or something like that. Even though obviously I'm not saying Tom Brady should have gone to the Packers. I'm saying you would look for that kind of a big name, historic kind of move for Tom Brady.
Dallas Cowboys.
Yes.
Yeah, like even like with the Chargers, I get it. They have like 6 fans that come to their games. I mean, that obviously wouldn't have been able to be the case. If he goes to L.A., they sell it every game.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's not hard to sell out a 20,000-seat stadium.
Exactly. You do that on accident if you have Tom Brady.
Nashville SC is going to do it.
Yeah, Nashville SC is going to do it, and they don't have Tom Brady. Imagine Tom Brady in Los Angeles, and you're going to sell that out.
Oh, absolutely. And with the Chargers, they have Tyrod Taylor, which I think they're just fine with Tyrod Taylor out there. I think the Chargers are going to be fine. But what came out was that the Buccaneers were the only team to even offer Tom Brady a contract. Yeah. That kind of hit me, and I was like, wow.
Meaning you know who did not offer
the team right here. In Nashville, Tennessee, did not. And just 2 weeks ago, I was sitting in this studio saying, you know what? I'm starting to buy it. I'm starting to start to get that inkling that, one, Tom Brady's leaving, and two, oh, man, I think Tom Brady might be coming to Nashville, Tennessee to play.
What did it for you?
For Mike Vrabel.
What did it for you? What made you, like, start to make you actually believe it? Because we talked about it.
Yes.
And, you know, we could BS about it on off air. But I don't know if there was any part of me that was just like, yeah, Tom Brady's definitely coming to the Titans. He seemed to be a little more sold that he was going to.
Yes.
Than I was. What was it, the FaceTime or
the
Syracuse basketball game FaceTime, which
the FaceTime with Mike Vrabel, right? They're sitting courtside at a Syracuse basketball game and you check the phone and they're FaceTiming with Mike Vrabel. Obviously, it's well noted, you know, John Robinson working for the Patriots and Mike Vrabel playing for the Patriots and Tom Brady at the Patriots and Mike and Tom are friends and it just makes so much sense. So I see the FaceTime. I'm like, okay, you know, maybe there's some, I'm not going to say tampering going on, but, you know, maybe there's some interaction somehow.
Yeah.
Given that connection, the Jeff Darlington reports, he was steadfast and strong in his reporting, and he was on this so long and right.
Yeah.
So the more I heard the Jeff Darlington and how he stayed consistent, and then Adam Schefter backs Jeff Darlington on what he's reporting, I'm like, Adam Schefter is someone who I can always go to and trust in the NFL. Anybody can.
Oh, yeah. He's the ultimate blue check mark.
So when Adam Schefter backs Jeff Darlington, Jeff Darlington is consistent in his reporting. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to think, okay, this is making sense. And then it just, the more you sit and think about it, the more you hear coming out of New England about how this really could be realistic, I just kind of started piecing it together and thinking, okay, it's likely he's leaving New England. And it makes a lot of sense in Nashville.
It could have been a better fit.
Oh, it couldn't have been.
For Tom Brady.
And they're a team who just went to the AFC Championship. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady 100% wants to win right now. I didn't really have anything that I was like, oh, that's it. Just slowly over time, I thought, hey, this actually makes some sense. That said, I think they did the right thing by going with Ryan Tannehill.
I think so, too. And obviously, if signing a quarterback that is as old as Tom Brady is, I get it. He's Tom Brady. But if you watch him play at the end of last year, he wasn't as sharp as he's always been. There are some signs of decline. His yards per attempt is the lowest it's been, I think, since like 2001 or 2002, when his first 2 years as a starter. There's obviously some decline in Tom Brady. He's not getting any younger. That's not how people age. And he's already well past 40. He'll be 43 this year. The Buccaneers signed a two-year deal.
Tom Brady has been adamant he wants to play till 45.
Being 43 and 44 in today's NFL, especially when you're about as mobile as this microphone is here, I don't know, man. I just signing $25 million for that when you could have had somebody which we've talked about this all the time, and I feel like we have to preface this every time we talk about Ryan Tannehill. Yes, he's going to regress, but even when he regresses, he's still a solid NFL quarterback.
Yes.
Enough to win you games. That being said, I think you stick with what you know right now. Your team that made an excellent run to the AFC Championship game, why not run it back again?
Let's get to that on the other side. Ryan Tannehill, why the Titans probably made the right decision, but $29.5 million at the same time. Oh, man, that's a big, big payday for Ryan Tannehill. What if he does regress? And because based on where our expectations are for him, a lot of people are going to be disappointed in Ryan Tannehill if he doesn't repeat what they did last season. We'll get to that on the other side. This is Calvin and Campbell on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Calvin and Campbell here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm Calvin Smith. You can follow me on Twitter @SmithACalvin. He is Elijah Campbell. You can follow him on Twitter at E_Campbell3. Don't forget, we're streaming all around the world on the Game Nashville app. We want to give you something to do. I know it's crazy out there. I know we're all locked in our homes for a little bit. But we want to talk some sports. Or at least try to in a time where there's almost nothing to talk about, but we're going to find something. And thank God the Tennessee Titans signed their quarterback to the deal they did. Huge deal. $29.5 million is the average annual value for Ryan Tannehill. A little over $60 million of that is guaranteed, with almost up to $120 million basically for the value of the contract over 4 years.
That's a lot of money.
A whole
lot of money.
Lot of money for a quarterback who, in Miami, was considered a bust.
Miami paid the Titans to take him. I mean, they didn't want him bad enough to where they will pay. They paid his contract to play for another team.
They brought in Ryan Tannehill to back up Marcus Mariota,
yeah,
who's now a backup to Derek Carr.
Weird how things have changed so fast in a year.
So obviously, the first place this show always goes, and we're always going to go here because we're realistic and we want to tell you the truth. Given what we just laid out about Miami and Tannehill backing up Mariota, Mariota who is now backing up Derek Carr, what's likely to happen? Ryan Tannehill falls back a little bit to the Ryan Tannehill you knew for the first 6 years of his career. Does that mean Ryan Tannehill is going to go out and be a very, very, very bad quarterback? No. Does that make us Titans haters for coming on here and saying that, guess what? It's really hard to repeat the level of efficiency that Ryan Tannehill had while getting sacked as often as he did, while not turning the ball over as much as he did.
Just being real.
It's just being real. We are probably the most pessimistic show in this entire market on the Tennessee Titans next season. But that said, signing Ryan Tannehill was the right move. And they should have signed him for as much money as they did, because that's the going rate for quarterbacks. And at the end of the day, Ryan Tannehill is going to be competent for you if you're a Tennessee Titans fan. And that is something you have not had consistently in years. Marcus Mariota, up and down. Great moments, but man, the lows got low
There's
with him
really
sometimes.
Bad
There's
moments.
A reason he's not the future of this team anymore.
There's a reason he's not the future of the team he's on.
Jake Locker, Zach Mettenberger, Kerry Collins, a lot of bad quarterbacks in town. And you know what? Ryan Tannehill's floor is a lot higher than all of them. I don't want to hate on Kerry Collins. I liked Kerry Collins when I was watching him play quarterback for the Titans here in town. But nonetheless.
Was never meant to be the franchise guy.
Never meant to do that. He was like 40 years old when he was playing quarterback.
Not at that point in his career.
You have a guy who just took you to the AFC Championship game. And I understand if you're worried about the cost of bringing Ryan Tannehill in. Because honestly, he's probably not going to live up to your expectations, whatever they may be. But that's the going rate for quarterbacks. And if you look at the quarterbacks that'll be signed over the next few years, Dak Prescott, any other quarterback who has a contract coming up, obviously Patrick Mahomes, but, well, Mahomes and Tannehill aren't even in the same galaxy.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes might be the greatest quarterback to ever live when it's all said and done, at least the most talented one.
But when you look at what somebody like Dak Prescott's going to sign pretty soon, I think you're going to feel good about Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah. Oh, and here's the thing, too. It's like, what other quarterback that's available right now gives you a better chance to win than Ryan Tannehill? Is a better fit? Look at the quarterback market right now. Teddy Bridgewater, would you really?
I mean, I like Teddy Bridgewater. He's fine.
He'd been less money, but that's what you're looking at. Teddy Bridgewater was a backup.
Flamis Winston?
Yeah. Jameis Squinston.
Hey, LASIK Jameis is going to change the NFL.
LASIK Jameis might have a chance now that he's like fixed his knee.
If you don't know, Jameis Winston had LASIK surgery to repair his vision, so he's going to be the MVP now.
Poorly timed surgeries, and like, why didn't you do this sooner?
How did we not know about this if we didn't?
Why does it take 30 interceptions to tell you your eyes aren't good? I mean, what kind of test is that? That is baffling to me, but hey. Jameis Squinston is no more. He is now Flamis Winston, and he could be an MVP candidate if someone gets him. But do you really trust Jameis Winston on this team? You think this market had a hard time with Marcus Mariota? When Jameis Winston's throwing picks every game, people will pull their hair out. That's one thing Ryan Tannehill didn't do, was turn the ball over unnecessarily. Even if he's not just insanely efficient as he was this year, he's not going to kill you by throwing a ton of picks.
He's really just generally not going to kill you. And the thing about Ryan Tannehill is, when we talk about his regression to the mean is like gravity. It's inevitable. Yeah. It got even Patrick Mahomes this season.
What comes up must come down.
Exactly. But when you look at Tannehill, he's not going to go out there and just suck it up. And I think that's the best thing you need right now for the Titans. Because at the end of the day, what did the Titans win their playoff games on the back of? Their defense.
Yeah.
As great as Derrick Henry ran the ball, the defense barely surrendered any points to Tom Brady and Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, the MVP.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson may be the most tantalizing player in all of the NFL last season.
Held the greatest rushing offense in the NFL to 12 points?
Yes, exactly.
I mean,
Tom Brady to 13.
They were held to 12 points all season long.
So,
games.
When you look at the Titans next season, Ryan Tannehill lighting it up, well, that's really not how you got to where you did. Of course, the offense was really, really good down the stretch for those 10 games, but is anybody really expecting them to do that again?
I'm not.
They haven't done that in a decade, and then all of a sudden they do it for a short stretch?
It's not been their MO in the last decade, is to just outscore you and light up the scoreboard. They just haven't been built that way. You know, and then some of the better Patriots teams at the beginning of the dynasty weren't built that way.
No.
They were built for the offense to score enough points. It wasn't like Tom Brady's just throwing it all over the yard to Deion Branch and Troy Brown and they're scoring 45 points a game. They weren't. That was one of the best defenses we've ever seen. I mean, you have defenses anchored by Teddy Bruschi, Willie McGinnis, Ty Law, Richard Seymour, Lawyer Malloy.
Rodney Harrison on the back end.
I mean, we could go all day.
Stephon Gilmore now.
Yeah.
Who was the best corner in the NFL this season.
And that was from the blueprint to the Patriots dynasty, outside of the year they got Randy Moss, and no one could beat them except for the one game that mattered the most. But that's the Titans, in a way, have built themselves to kind of be like that. They strengthened their secondary. Their run defense has been really good, you know, and having the production you've had at Jarrell Casey the last couple of years has helped.
Which Jarrell Casey's now gone. That's what's crazy, too.
Yeah, meaning they're probably going to address that in the draft.
Exactly. And really,
a hunch.
The Titans are a great lesson in how quickly an NFL roster can turn over, even after great success with players under contract, because it's a salary cap sport. But honestly, when you look at this team, they have some holes to fill. And you can still be optimistic about the Titans. Mike Greenberg came on Jared and the GM, I believe that was Thursday, and said he thinks the Titans are the favorites to win the AFC South, and he was really, really bullish on Titans, and I think that's totally valid. But at the same time, they need a pass rusher.
Very true.
Jarrell Casey leaves a big hole, and it's hard, no matter who you are, what position you play, to plug and play a rookie in the position of a five-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah,
I think we can all agree the Titans may have a problem or two at corner. Adoree Jackson, solid, not necessarily living up to every bit of hype. Mm-hmm. Malcolm Butler's coming off injury, and he's a big payday. Logan Ryan is still out there. He may not come back. The defense, you definitely have questions about them.
Yeah. Oh, and the one thing about getting rid of Jarrell Casey, and it's almost Belichickian the way John Robinson did this, because Jarrell Casey has declined. I don't care what kind of stock you put in Pro Football Focus scores. It's not the do-all, end-all. It's relatively reliable.
Consider it as part of the conversation.
Yes, he had his lowest grade last season.
Yes, absolutely.
He was hurt last season. Jarrell Casey is past his prime. I think we could all agree. When you start getting hurt past your prime, you're not getting much better after that. You've gotten everything you can out of Jarrell Casey. He's $13 million a cap hit.
And the Broncos offer to take it all.
And the Broncos are taking every penny and even giving you a seventh rounder. So you're getting something.
You get a shot in the dark at Tom Brady.
Yeah, possibly getting Tom Brady or a Marquise Colston. I mean, those are the two best late round examples I could think of off the top of my head. But there's a reason they got rid of Jarrell Casey, and that's going to, like, save some $13 million. You might be able to bring back Logan Ryan. Maybe if you draft someone like Marlon Davidson, who it's hard for a rookie to do it, but Jeffrey Simmons looked promising.
Yes, Jeffrey Simmons does look promising.
He still does. Yeah, exactly. He still does look promising. Played the back half of last year, and like we said,
they don't win the Chargers promising. Game without him.
100%, they don't. No, it's his first game.
Chargers game is the wildest game that happened all year, maybe.
Yeah, and Jeffrey Simmons poking that ball away from Melvin Gordon at the goal line.
Gosh,
wins them that game.
What a season!
But if you plug Marlon Davidson in there and say he is just 75% as competent as what you draft him to be, you automatically fill that spot. If you get him to play all 16 games and to play it at a reasonable level, I don't even say high level, I don't want to put that expectation there, but at a reasonable level, you can't be upset. I mean, you bounce back from having to make a tough decision like letting go of a five-time Pro Bowler in Jarrell Casey.
There's another aspect to this Titans free agency, NFL free agency, all of this that we haven't talked about yet on the show. I teased it after the 9 o'clock segment, but of course, I can't avoid it any longer. Derrick Henry gets the franchise tag, $10.2 million next season for 1 year of a running back in the NFL. Well, there's been a lot of news on the running back front. Melvin Gordon doesn't get a huge payday he wanted after he held out. Todd Gurley gets cut with four, count them, 4 years left on his newly signed contract. How does this all affect Derrick Henry? Is he gonna hold out? Is he gonna get a big time deal and are Titans fans gonna regret it? Or is everything gonna continue as normal and is El Tractorcito just gonna roll right through defenses like he did at the end of the year? We'll get into that next, coming up here on Calvin and Campbell on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Calvin and Campbell rocking with you here on a Saturday morning at 9:48. In the morning, I'm Calvin Smith. He's Elijah Campbell. This is Calvin and Campbell. Captain Kurt on the board, on the ones and twos, pushing the levers, making sure everything goes just as planned here on this Saturday morning after a crazy week in the world. And the NFL doesn't sleep for anything. NFL free agency is still fully in effect. The Titans made their own moves. Vic Beasley's coming to town, I think. You're getting a situational pass rusher. I think that's fine. I don't think he's going to really do much else. I hope you have realistic expectations for what to expect from him, because he's not going to come in and drastically change your defense. He will be a good situational pass rusher.
Yeah, and anything that if he becomes great, that's a bonus. You're signing him for what his floor was. I don't think his 15 sack season is what he is. That's not Vic Beasley.
He's known as a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
He has one move.
And that's about it. And the NFL will figure you out. If you are not versatile in any aspect, they'll figure you out. And the NFL's figured out Vic Beasley, but he can still get to the quarterback occasionally, and it helps with the pass rush problem a little bit. So they did something.
Obviously now, the matter at hand for the Tennessee Titans is the running back situation. The Derrick Henry situation. The guy who right now kind of feels like the face of the franchise for the NFL because of the great performances he's put on display in some of the biggest moments. Derrick Henry, franchise tag, $10.2 million. First of all, I'm going to say this, right? Because I think I'm very well known to people who know me as the guy who hates running the football. The guy who doesn't want to pay the running back in really any scenario. That's nothing personal against running backs. It's just, I believe, the most efficient way to play football is not running the football. But Derrick Henry, if you're getting franchise tag, hold out, dude. Absolutely. Get your money right now.
Why wouldn't you?
I think Derrick Henry has enough leverage to go do that. I think he's in a little bit better of a situation than Melvin Gordon because, well, we see what happened with Melvin Gordon. The guy didn't play, then came back halfway through the season, and then signs a deal with the Broncos for trash money, like $8 million a year. Melvin Gordon was looking to cash in for $12, $13, $14 million a year. He didn't even come close to that.
He wanted Zeke range. He wanted Zeke money.
That's what Derrick Henry wants, too.
Yeah, and the worst thing that happened to Melvin Gordon, we talked about this off the air, but the worst thing that happened to Melvin Gordon was Austin Eckler, because Austin Eckler wasn't even drafted, and Austin Eckler was the more important player to that Chargers team, even when Melvin Gordon came back. So even if Melvin Gordon's out in the open market, he's not going to get much because he was replaceable. And that's the big thing with running backs, is a lot of them have been proven to be replaceable. We saw the same thing happen with Todd Gurley. He got released because no one wanted to trade for that trash contract.
You saw C.J. Anderson running the football well for the Rams.
Yeah, and a rookie.
Darrell Henderson.
Darrell Henderson. Yeah,
excuse me.
From Memphis.
Yes.
I mean, and Brown.
Malcolm Brown,
yeah. And they got Malcolm Brown. And the running game was just fine in the games that Todd Gurley didn't play. He was proven to be replaceable. You don't pay replaceable production. I'm not saying Derrick Henry's production is 100% replaceable.
We're not saying that you can just go pick up some rando off the scrap heap and go get somebody. But if the Titans wanted to go invest in a Cam Akers in the draft or something like that, you could probably get good enough production from that position, given the history of what we've seen happen in the NFL.
With a great offensive line. The offensive line. And you noticed, Todd Gurley didn't run the ball well this year. You know who he was missing on that offensive line? Roger Saffold.
Guess where Roger Saffold is now?
Guess who had the best running game in the playoffs in the NFL last year? What offensive line unit was the best in the playoffs last year? The Tennessee Titans. With Roger
Saffold. They get Roger Saffold, a guy who really can maul in the run game. Mm-hmm. Of course, now you subtract Jack Conklin from all of that they did last season. And I think Dennis Kelly is going to be a fine replacement. I don't think that the offensive line is just going to go to a pile of scrap heaps. I think the Titans have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL.
Still
and it is completely beyond me why people in this market bash them because of a lot of sacks. No, quarterbacks hold on to the football for too long. It's the quarterback's fault. Okay, look at the pass rush win rate, the pass blocking win rate tracked by ESPN. That offensive line held their blocks in the pass game, and you saw what they did in the run game.
They were their best in the run game.
But you should be a little bit concerned if you don't have Jack Conklin, because Derrick Henry's most efficient spot running the football? Off the right tackle.
Or Jack Conklin was.
Jack Conklin was a very good run blocker. And I like Dennis Kelly. I'm not trying to come on here and bash Dennis Kelly, but who replaced Taylor Lewan in the first four games of the season? Dennis Kelly at left tackle. Were the Titans good in the first four games? Were the Titans blocking well? Were the Titans running the football well? What is the, quote, cornerstone, the baseline of the offense? Were they doing that very well in the first four games without one of their cornerstone tackles?
Had their moments.
And Taylor Lewan, I get it. I think Taylor Lewan is better than Jack Conklin. So you're losing more when you don't have the better left tackle. But at the same time, it's not good to lose one of those bookends on the end of your line.
Especially when you are very reliant on the run game. And that's
Jack Conklin run blocks well.
Is one of the best.
His best asset.
There's a reason the market for Jack Conklin was so high, that he was so coveted. And there's a reason that Jack Conklin was one of the first people signed in NFL free agency.
Yep.
Because he required so much attention. Because teams, and specifically NFL GMs, watched the Titans and noticed the impact he had on that offensive line. And, of course, when Taylor Lewan came back last year, the offensive line as a unit still took a little while to gel. But Derrick Henry's best production came when that offensive line was
found. Oh, well, Derrick Henry was not good for the first six games of the season with Marcus Mariota under center.
Yeah, and the Jags game is one of those examples. 17 carries, 44 yards, couldn't get past the line of scrimmage the entire game because they weren't blocking well. The blocking is a huge, huge deal at the running back position. And when he talks about, or we get back to talking about Derrick Henry getting franchise tagged, I mean, obviously that's what teams are going to use against him. And if you're Derrick Henry, I mean, this is the one chance that you have.
Oh yeah.
To make that money. This is it. This is the contract that running backs use to fleece teams and just steal from them. Ask Todd Gurley. That was his chance to steal from the Los Angeles Rams for the next 4 years of his career, even though he is not going to be wearing a Los Angeles Rams uniform. I don't blame him if he holds out. And honestly, if you're his agent, you should kind of be pushing him because you get 2% of that. You should be pushing him.
He absolutely should because he should go get paid because the market for running backs right now is not good. And Derrick Henry, in the minds of a lot of people, carries a lot of value. And I have a question for you, Elijah. Would you pay a running back Ezekiel Elliott level money who has only had 90 or more rushing yards 13 times in a 4-year career?
No, I don't think so.
Because that's how many games Derrick Henry's rushed for 90 or more yards.
Wow.
If you make it 100 or more yards, 10. 10 games of 100 or more rushing yards.
In 4 years.
And people think he should get Ezekiel Elliott money? I'm not here to go out and bash Derrick Henry. I hate that I have to come out here and do this as much as I do. But there needs to be some reasonable talk about what the expectation is for Derrick Henry. He is a fantastically talented athlete and a freak of nature. I love to see him stick the stiff arm out and go 99 yards against the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's awesome to watch. But you have to be realistic about what his value is to this team and how you budget a roster.
And his workload. The workload's the biggest thing to me.
300 carries last year. Do people actually think he's a Terminator?
He's
invincible? He's not. He's a great athlete, but that does not make him invincible.
Todd Gurley ran into the same thing.
If it was so obvious with Todd Gurley that, oh, that was such a bad contract, we all knew it was so bad, then why'd they sign him to the deal if it was so obvious?
Because weren't the Rams supposed to be the offense of the future, the superminds?
They were just a year ago. That's how quickly things can change in the NFL. And there's enough history here to be able to look at that and say, whoa, we should be cautious and not throw $20 million a year at it.
And Melvin Gordon should be another big one, too. And David Johnson. David Johnson had multiple great years. Multiple. Once he broke out and became the starter for the Arizona Cardinals, he was an elite NFL running back. And that went downhill very quickly, and it started with a week one injury against Detroit a couple years ago in which it wasn't even a leg injury. I think he broke his wrist.
Yeah.
It was a broken wrist. Had to miss the entire year. Was honestly never the same.
No. And that's a wrist. That's not your leg.
Yeah, exactly. You don't run with your wrists. You don't. If you do, I'd be really impressed, but you don't. David Johnson's obviously not the same right now. Unless you're Bill O'Brien, then you give away the best receiver in the league for him. I digress.
Yeah, good job, Bob.
But there's just so much anecdotal evidence. You can provide the numbers. We can all provide the anecdotal evidence that just paying running backs that much money, especially for long term. I mean, I think if Derrick Henry's cool with the franchise tag, this is a best case scenario for the Titans because you're not completely overpaying and you get him on your team for a year and you get all the benefits of Derrick Henry being on this team for a year without sacrificing taking money away from other people that might have more value on the football
field. And if he rapidly declines, like you can probably expect.
Yeah. Or if he gets hurt.
Which is not unrealistic to think of because because you're big doesn't mean you're perfect. Just because you're big doesn't mean other big men can't hurt you because the NFL is full of big men.
Yeah, full of very big, large men running at full speeds with their job being to tackle you.
Just for a little bit of context, Ezekiel Elliott, I believe, does have an extra year in the NFL on Derrick Henry. He has 26 games with 100 or more rushing yards. That's Zeke Elliott kind of money, and I'm not even sold that the Cowboys paid the right price for him. We are out of time for this segment. We went over. There's my Derrick Henry rant of the weekday. It's probably going to come up in the second hour. We have a lot more to get to with the Tennessee Titans, and what do you do while you're quarantined? That's coming up here on Calvin and Campbell, ESPN 102.5 The Game.